This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brothers and sisters. I am Sikandar Beg, a student of IOU and an office bearer of the IOU Riyadh Brothers Student Committee. On behalf of IOU and the IOU Riyadh Brothers Committee, I extend a warm welcome to you all for joining us on this online event organized by IOU Riyadh Brothers Student Committee to enlighten ourselves on the very important topic, homeschooling and the future of education. Today's agenda is as follows. We begin our program, inshallah, with the lecture of the topic, homeschooling and the future of education by Sheikh Ismail Kamdar. This will be followed by a 10-minute question and answer session on the topic of homeschooling. Following this, we'll have a presentation on introduction to Islamic Online University and various online Islamic courses it offers by our brother Syed Ahmad. This will be followed again by a question and answer 5 minutes time. And this session will be for 5 minutes time on Islamic Online University. Keeping in view the present day education system and the moral values amongst the youngsters and the society touching the lowest day by day, we feel the necessity of subjecting our children to homeschooling to avoid many of the dangers our children may be exposed to due to normal schooling, which will have influence, rather negative influence over the children without their or our knowledge in the long run. The dangers of the outside schooling will be, they may propagate atheism, other religious concepts against Islamic teachings. Students may be made to lose sense of accountability of their actions on the last day. Encouraging un-Islamic activities. As far as the teachers are concerned, their akhida, beliefs, comes out and will have an influence over the children, even if they teach maths or any other worldly subject. Children from different backgrounds, different standards of Islam, will leave different impression on other students. With homeschooling, the parents can have better control over the children. This sharing is all for all parents to consider the benefits of homeschooling. The parents can still use the tools of homeschooling to teach our children Islam at home, with many options like taking the culture of memorization from Islam, finding ways to develop strong Islamic identity while learning maths, history, and other subjects, choosing to focus more on Islamic senses. Ultimately, we as parents are responsible for our upbringing of our children and their education. Let me at this point introduce Sheikh Ismail Kamdar. Sheikh Ismail Kamdar began his study of Islam at the age of 13. He has been actively involved in Islamic work since the age of 16. Sheikh Ismail Kamdar graduated from the Alimiya program and completed his BA in Islamic Studies at International University, Open University in 2014. He specializes in the fields of fiqh, tafsir, and history. The author of over a dozen books in the fields of Islamic studies and personal development. He served as a senior lecturer as well as the faculty manager of IOU from February 2010 to until October 2020. He currently works as a research manager at Yaqeen Institute. He is the founder of Islamic Self-Help and the research manager at Yaqeen Institute. Over the past decade, Sheikh Ismail has served as a school teacher, administrator in multiple schools in South Africa and India. He has also delivered lectures and workshops in many locations, locally and abroad, and appeared in many radio stations across the country. He has also served as radio presenter at Radio Al Ansar for several years until late 2016. In 2011, Sheikh Ismail discovered the importance of personal development and noticed a lack of Islamic literature dedicated to this field. After consuming dozens of books and courses on the topic, he decided to start this blog. The focus of this blog is articles and books related to the field of Islamic self-help. Sheikh Ismail Kamdar is the author of Having Fun the Halal Way, Entertainment in Islam, Getting the Baraka, An Islamic Guide to Time Management, Best of Creation, An Islamic Guide to Self-Confidence and Homeschooling 101, among other titles. Now, I would like to hand over to Sheikh Ismail Kamdar to commence his lecture, please.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala nabi al-kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. I want to thank you all for having me here and for giving me this opportunity to present to you on a topic that is very close to my heart. Alhamdulillah, I've been homeschooling my kids for almost 10 years now. And whenever people ask me, you know, what's my experience as homeschooling, my response is it's at the same time the hardest thing I've ever done and the most rewarding thing I've ever done. I think that's the nature of the world, right? That anything that's rewarding, anything that in the long term benefits us, in the moment, it's the hardest thing to do. And so when it comes to homeschooling, you know, a lot of people ask me for advice, and I usually am very frank about the fact that it's difficult. It is very, very difficult. But more difficult than homeschooling your children is dealing with the consequences of them getting a wrong education. That is a lot more difficult in the long run. In life, we have to make choices. And the choices we make, some of them would be immediate pain for long-term benefit. Others would be immediate convenience for long-term pain. And I look at the choice between homeschooling and public schooling in the same way. Homeschooling is difficulty now, benefits your children for the rest of their life. Public school is a gamble. It's convenience now, but for many, many families, it's long-term consequences that last a lifetime. So what I want to share with you today is some of the reasons why I believe that we have to rethink our education system. And in the meanwhile, while we're rethinking the education system, our best alternative in the meanwhile is homeschooling. And I want to begin with a personal story. How did I get into homeschooling? So my story actually goes back to when I was a teenager. I began my study of Islam at the age of 13, which means I had to drop out of school. And I wanted to pursue full-time Islamic studies, but I wanted to complete school at the same time. So back then, there were no online schools. Back then, even the word homeschooling wasn't as common. So I completed school through correspondence, which means I would receive the curriculum through the post and I would do the work from home and submit it through the post. And I completed my high school in that way. Now, fast forward a decade later, I'm a young man with young children, and I'm beginning to wonder, you know, which school do I send them to? And I see the fitna of school getting worse. Now, alhamdulillah, I benefited from doing high school at home. I did high school at home. I did my university with IOU. So I was never in a high school environment. I was never in a university environment. I benefited from being safe from fitna. Really, both at the high school and university level, I benefited from being safe from fitna. And I wanted the same for my kids. I wanted them to get the same quality education that I did without having to go through that fitna at such a young age. So I began to explore options, and I began to look at all the different options available in my community. And I boil down options in most communities to four. I think most of you are dealing with these four options, right? Public schools, private Islamic schools, or homeschool. Those are the four options that most of us have. Some may have more, some may have less. I think in most communities, these are our four options. You either put your child in public school, which is the cheapest and the most convenient, or you put them in a private school, which is expensive, better quality education, or you put them in a private Islamic school, which is also expensive, but they're getting both Islamic and worldly education, or you homeschool them, which is time-consuming and very difficult. And after dealing with many families and who went through all these different routes and listening to the experience, so actually sat with a variety of families and learned from their experiences, we came to the conclusion that out of these four options, homeschooling is the best. And if you can't homeschool, then Islamic school. And if you can't Islamic school, then private school. And if you can't private school, public school is the last option. Now, again, this changes from country to country. Right? Every community and country is different. So in the West, this is the order that I would put it at. If you're living in a Muslim country, it may be very different. Inshallah, maybe if you're living in a good country, a good Muslim country, the public schools may be, you know, good enough. But I'm talking about the experience of someone living in a non-Muslim country as a minority. The conclusion I came to is that out of these four options, homeschooling is the hardest, but it's the one that produces the best results. And the way I came to this conclusion was that I spoke to many families that had homeschooled their kids. And I met with the kids as well. And I was amazed by the kind of people these children were growing into. That these were teenagers who had good akhlaq, good adab, strong aqidah. They had goals, they had a vision. They were very well adjusted, didn't have bad habits of any sort. They enjoyed learning, which I found strange because I know school kills the love of learning. So I decided to give it a try. And 9.5 years ago, I started homeschooling my eldest son, who will be in grade 10 soon. And alhamdulillah, we've been homeschooling since then. I have four kids, we homeschool all of them. And I can say now, a decade later, that for me personally, this has been the best decision of my life. But it's also been the most difficult thing I've ever done. That homeschooling is harder than working a job. It's harder than anything else because you are parenting 24/7. You have to be a parent at certain hours of the day and educate at other times of the day, and even the principal at other times of the day. So this is my journey. This is how I got into homeschooling. And what I want to share with you today is, what is homeschooling? What are some of the methods of homeschooling? Why you should consider homeschooling? And then just a few tips on how to make it work. So what is homeschooling? Homeschooling simply means that your child receives the education outside of the school system, right? So this includes a variety of methodologies. The most common form of homeschooling is where the parents teach their children the school curriculum at home. So whatever the schools are teaching, the parents teach it to the kids at home. But this is not the only method. Right, I mentioned when I was younger, I did correspondence schooling, which is through the post. This still exists. My older kids are doing online school, right, where they're studying at home from their laptops through an online school, like how you all are studying through an online university. It's also a type of homeschooling. You get more radical forms of homeschooling, like unschooling. So unschooling is where you leave the child's education entirely to them, that when they need to learn something, they'll learn it, right? It's a more radical form, but surprisingly, it works quite well for some families. You have other types like global schooling, where the family decides to travel for 2 or 3 years and learn about the world together. So there's no class, there's no curriculums. You're just traveling the world and learning about the history and culture and language of each civilization that you visit. And there are many, many other ways. So what homeschooling does is it broadens your understanding of what education can be and of what children are capable of learning. And this is something that is missing in the school system today. So I used to be a school teacher when I was in my early 20s. And my experience as a school teacher really crushed my spirit in the education system as a whole. And that's one of the reasons I chose to homeschool. Because there are certain things about the school system today that just don't work. It just doesn't work. I'm talking both from an Islamic perspective and a worldly perspective. So what do I mean by a worldly perspective? Well, the system we use in school today is outdated. it's an outdated model of teaching and learning. This system of education was invented 200 years ago, and it hasn't changed a lot in those 200 years, where we have this factory style buildings with a bell and with people lined up according to the age groups, where people are all expected to study the same thing, regardless of the level of intelligence or how mature they are for their age or what their level, what their interests are or what their style of learning is, all expected to study the same things, where kids are forced into this building with sometimes with bizarre rules to study, you know, topics that may not benefit them for 13 years. 13 years is a long time. So some of the things I find wrong with school today is that the system itself is outdated. Number two, it's too long. You really don't need 13 years to get a basic education. Really, you don't. With the internet, with YouTube, with the availability of ebooks, with all of this, nobody needs 13 years to get a basic education. Think about it, right? If you've been to school, how much of those 13 years of education actually benefited you? I would say for the average person, it's 4 or 5 years. 4 or 5 years. Another problem that came from school being 13 years long is extending childhood. So biologically, psychologically, and Islamically, childhood ends upon puberty. And when somebody hits puberty, they are a young adult. And historically, when somebody would hit puberty, they would start working, they would get a job or start a career, they would go out in military campaigns, they would get married, they would start life. But to make school last a few years longer, people came up with this idea that, oh, childhood only ends when you're 18, right? Very arbitrary number, 18. And some countries say 16, some say 21. Right now we have people who are 25 and they're saying, I'm still a child. When does it end? Islamically, it ends when you hit puberty. And I believe the school system should have been redesigned so that when somebody hits puberty, they can start life as an adult. That extending childhood has damaged an entire generation. That we see today, this concept of the man-child phenomenon. This never existed in history, where we have thousands of young men in their 20s and 30s who are overgrown children. The school system is partly to blame for that. So it's bad parenting, but the school system does play a role in blame for that. Islamically, some of the problems with the school system is that the non-Muslim schools have become more lands of propaganda than education. So maybe 40 or 50 years ago, the schools would focus on mathematics and English and science. But now we know from a very young age that they are pushing the alphabet people's propaganda, you know, calling for homosexuality and lesbianism and pornography and masturbation. And do you really want your child exposed to this filth at a young age? Think about it as a parent. Do you really want to expose your child to such filthy ideologies before they've even formed the ability to think for themselves? Now, that's the age where a child is a sponge. They are soaking in what their teachers teach them. And your job as a Muslim parent is to make sure at that age the right things are being put in their mind. So just take them and dump them in a non-Muslim environment where all of this filth is being pumped into their brains. This is bad parenting. If you didn't have a choice, it's bad parenting. If you didn't have a choice, then, you know, may Allah help you find a way out from there. But really, we should not and cannot neglect our child's need to have an Islamic education first. The second problem Islamically with the school systems today is that for many of us, it has become outsourcing parenting. Right? Many parents today don't teach their children anything at all. I've had school teachers complain to me that children come to school, they don't even know how to put their own pants on. They don't even know how to make istinja. They don't even know basic manners. Their parents taught them nothing. They expect the schools to teach them everything. This is lazy parenting. The parent is the first teacher, especially the mother, is the first teacher. It is the parent's job to educate their children. What education they get from other people is secondary. So we've gone backwards Islamically. Islamically, you're supposed to be studying with your parents first. And then when you are older, you go and study with mentors and apprentices and athatiza and shuyukh. That's the Islamic way. The modern system is the parents play no role in teaching and they outsource everything to the kuffar. Huge, huge problem. You are doing a great disservice to a child if you do that. We say the education begins in the lap of the mother. And this is where homeschooling comes in. Homeschooling allows you to embrace that role as your child's primary source of education and to hold on to it for as long as needed until your child is ready to take control of their own education. It allows for flexibility. It allows a child to pursue their own interests, to study using the methods of study that work for them. It allows them to work at their own pace. If they are a bit slower at maths, fine. They can, you know, do maths at one grade lower level. If they are a bit more advanced at maths, it's fine. They can do maths at one grade higher level. You're not stuck in the system. They can work at their own pace. They can grow at their own pace. And you as a parent can now observe how they are growing. You can observe if they're growing in the right direction. It's not happening away from you. It's happening in front of your eyes. And this, to me, homeschooling to me is the natural method of education. The natural method of education. Because for the bulk of human history, children learned primarily from their parents. That children, right up to the age of 10, would learn primarily from their mother. And then, when they were older, they would learn certain things from their father, certain things from the teachers in their community, from a mentor, from an elder, from an uncle. But their parents were the base. Their mother and their father were the base of the education. That would be what would reflect on them when they go out and learn from somebody else. If somebody would leave home at the age of 12 or 13 and go and study, you know, at a madrasa, and the teachers would look at the akhlaq and say, your parents taught you well. Because it was understood that the parents are the first madrasa, that the parents are the first school. Homeschooling allows you to embrace that role as the primary madrasa, the primary source of education. So that whatever else your child learns in life from anybody else, they build upon what you taught them first. Now, some of the benefits of homeschooling, and I just went through some of them, the child has control of studying what interests them, and they can study at their own pace. But some of the other benefits that come with homeschooling is that you can make Islam the primary focus so that everything else is built around Islam. So your child begins to see Islam as the primary focus of their life. And one of the problems I've had with some Islamic schools is that Islamic studies is just there as a token subject. So they can say they are an Islamic school, but it's not given the same level of attention or priority as the other subjects. So the children going to that school begin to see Islamic studies as this token subject. And they begin to see Islam as the side thing, not as important as math or English or anything else. But when you are homeschooling, you can make Islam number one. And everything else builds and fits around Islam. That Islam is your way of life. It is your model of thinking. It is the way you perceive the rest of the world. The way you deal with languages, the way you deal with maths, the way you deal with science, the way you deal with your job, with your field, your profession, whatever it is, it's all from within the framework of Islam, that Islam comes first. And this is why when a child is very young, when they just reach the age where they can start understanding things, 4 or 5 years old, you focus on akhlaq, you focus on adab, you focus on basic beliefs, because this is the age where they need to absorb all of that first. So when they get older, when they are 6 or 7, and now they are learning to read and write, they are learning maths, they are learning basic science, they are learning it having already absorbed the basic aqidah and akhlaq and adab of Islam. So they are building on a foundation of Islam instead of trying to fit Islam around everything else. And you can have this level of control if you are homeschooling. So homeschooling to me, it's not a solution for everyone, but it's a solution that works for many today. Ideally, if we talk about the future of education, ideally, I believe, and this is actually something that I hope to work on in the next decade, not now, when my kids are older and my homeschooling journey is done, but something I wish to work on in the future, is a 21st century model of education. Something that's 5 to 7 years long, that replaces the current system, that's up to date, that involves the internet, that involves modern methods of teaching and learning, and where moral and religious education becomes the core and everything else is built upon it. Now, what we really need is a whole new education system to meet the needs of Muslims in the 21st century. But it's going to take 10 or 20 years to produce something like that. In the meanwhile, while we are waiting for that, those of us whose children are growing up now, and whose children will be adults by that time, the best option we have is to homeschool. And this may not be an option for everybody, because some of you may be in such a situation where the mother and father both have to work because of, you know, the difficult economic crisis that many people are in. Sometimes mother and father are both forced to work and there's nobody to homeschool the child. You know, sometimes you might be in a situation where one parent lives far away and the other can't manage on their own. They have to send their child to school. You may be living in a country where it's illegal to homeschool. There are countries where it's illegal to homeschool. You have to be aware of that. So some people don't have a choice. But if you have a choice, if you have the time, the resources, the ability, the legality, then I highly recommend, at least from the age of 5 until 12, to homeschool your child. Because that's when you build their foundations. That's when you shape the akhlaq and the adab and the iman and the taqwa. That's when you help them grow into the kind of person you want them to be. And so I highly, highly recommend homeschooling for kids at that age. I want to end off now with some tips on homeschooling. For those of you who have started this journey or plan on starting it soon, you know, so you're a parent, you've got your 6-year-old, your 7-year-old, maybe taking your 10 or 12-year-old out of school to start homeschooling them. You don't know what to do. You're stressed out. You've never been the teacher before, right? What do you do? What do you do? Here's a few tips. Number one, give yourself a break. Don't expect to get it right the first time. Anything you're doing for the first time, you're going to mess it up. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to learn from your mistakes. Don't be too hard on yourself as a teacher. Rather, learn. As your children are learning, you also learn. Learn new teaching methods. Learn classroom management. Learn how to maintain their attention. Learn what study style and teaching styles work with them. Learn how long they can manage for. Which method of homeschooling works best for them. So give yourself a break and take some time to learn how to homeschool. Because it's not something that everybody, that comes naturally to everybody. It does to some people. Others need to learn. So take it easy on yourself. Don't give up. I know there's too many parents give up too easily. That they start homeschooling and within a month they say, that's not for me. You didn't give it a chance. I would say at least 6 months to a year. Commit to at least 6 months to a year. Say, I'm going to give this a chance. And yes, the first 2 or 3 months are going to be chaotic. I'm going to give it a proper chance, 6 months to a year. And if it's still not working out by the end of the year, I'm putting it back in school, right? But at least give it a proper chance. During that year, some of the things you want to do during that year to ensure that you are doing the best job possible is you should try different methods of education. So don't limit yourself to the school system, that you just take the school system and mimic it at home. That doesn't work for everyone. And if you feel the school system is outdated and wasting time, then just doing what they do, what's the point of it, right? Except maybe for keeping them away from the filthy environments that some schools are. You want to try different methods. You want to see which system of homeschooling works best for your family. So you may try schooling at home. You may try something a bit more unstructured, like unschooling. You may try online schooling. You may try educating them through YouTube videos or through games. Try different things. Because every child is different. Every family is different. And this is another reason why I believe homeschooling works better, is because every child is different. And homeschooling allows you to cater to the needs and the style of your child, that they learn in a way that works best for them. So if one of your children is a reader, they love to read books, you can just buy them a library of all the books, of all the topics you want them to learn. And they will consume those books on their own and they will learn all those topics on their own. If one of your kids love YouTube videos, you just make a playlist of all the videos you want them to watch on the topics you want them to know. And they will learn all that knowledge through watching those YouTube videos, right? If one of your children learns best doing things, You put together a list of projects. You know, we're going to build this. We're going to try that. We're going to bake this. We're going to cook this. And you do it with them. And they learn the skills on the go. The point is you can shape it around their learning style. So you need to do experiments to figure out what works for them. You have to do experiments to figure out which learning style works for your child, which learning style and which teaching style works best for them. Another thing you need to do to make it work out for yourself is to get in contact with other homeschools. It's very important to have support. And you can't do this on your own. It's very, very hard. So to have mentors or friends or teachers who can advise you, who can encourage you, who can give you tips, this is very important. So I highly advise forming a homeschooling community. If you can't do it locally, do it online. But have people in your life that you can reach out to for advice. Finally, the final point I'll mention, and we close off on this point, is reassess every year whether it's the best thing for you. Because times change and things change and your children change, your situation changes. So perhaps you were living in a non-Muslim land, so you chose to homeschool. But during the year, you're migrated, inshallah, to a Muslim land. And now you're happy with the schools and the quality of the schools and the environment of the schools. So now you can reassess and say, you know what, let's start sending our children to school. Or maybe the opposite happened. Maybe you decided, you know, we're living in a good Muslim country, so I'm sending my son to school. But within the year, you're not happy with the curriculum or the way it's taught, or your child is losing their love of learning, or they're getting caught up in bad company. So you reassess and you choose to start homeschooling. The point is you don't have to commit to this decision for life. And if you choose to send your child to school, you can undo that decision, right? You can decide later on, like, hold on, this is not working. Let's try homeschool. Likewise, if you committed to homeschooling and maybe your life situation has changed, the quality of school has changed, or new schools have come up with new methods of teaching and you want to try it, you can change your decision. Many people think that once you make this decision, you're stuck with it for life. No, it's not like that. It's a lot of freedom, a lot of flexibility. Up to you every year to assess what is best for your family and your children. So my advice to parents, to close off, is to think long-term. Think long-term. Understand that your children are an amana from Allah. And they are not going to be with you for very long. You will be surprised how quickly children grow up. I feel like I just became a parent a few years ago. My eldest is already 15. He's already a young man. No, that quickly. Children grow up very quickly. That period of time, that 15 years or 12 years that, of education, it will pass you by quickly. You don't want to just go with the flow. You don't want to just do what everybody else is doing. You have to have a vision. You have to think long term that my son, my daughter, what kind of person do I want him to grow up to be? You know, the aqidah, the akhlaq, their manners, their understanding of the religion, their work ethic, their love of learning. How do I nurture all of this? What's the best way to do that? And what you might find, what I found, is that homeschooling is the best way to do it. If you do come to that conclusion, now you commit. You say, this is our vision. This is what we want to achieve at the end of this journey once our child is grown up. This is the best way to get there. We are going to do it, even though it is hard. We're going to do it even though it is time consuming. We are going to do it even though, you know, it means the next 12 years of our life, we are going to make a lot of sacrifices so that our child gets the best education. At the end of the day, it is a long-term investment into your child's future. Children who are homeschooled in general grow up to be children who love learning more. They have a stronger love of learning. They grow up to be more independent learners, so they are able to teach themselves and study things on their own without somebody forcing them to do so. They grow up to being more well-adjusted with better character and manners, and they end up maturing faster. So you will find the average homeschool child by the age of 13 or 14, they are a young adult the way they think. They're not thinking like children anymore. They're thinking like young adults. You will find that homeschool children, when homeschooled Islamically, in general, it helps them to have stronger iman, stronger taqwa, and a better sense of the ummah, that they are part of an ummah. So homeschooling to me is the best way forward. And these are just some of my thoughts on the topic, the future of education, you know, it's something that we need to think about together. We have to come up with new education models that work. In the meanwhile, homeschooling is the best option that we have. We ask Allah for guidance. We ask Allah to allow us to fulfill this amanah of parenting. And we ask Allah to make the next generation of Muslim righteous leaders. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala mursaleen. Walhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh Ismail Kamdar, for enlightening us about the importance of homeschooling. We hope, we pray to Allah, hope all the listeners will be benefited in both the worlds by implementing the same in our lives for our children as per our capabilities, inshallah. Inshallah, we'll now start the question and answer session. Brothers and sisters are requested to send their questions related to the topic of the homeschooling through chat box. We'll read out the questions sent by the brothers and sisters, and Sheikh Ismail Kamdar will answer the questions, inshallah. Kindly include your name and location along with your questions. In case if we run out of time and are able to address your questions, please email your questions to our email address providing the invitation. Please go ahead with the questions, dear sisters, brothers.
Okay, I see one question here. How many hours a day should we spend homeschooling? Right, this is an important question. Okay, this depends on you. It depends on your child's speed of learning. It depends on a variety of factors. But on average, the average homeschooling family that I have met, for their worldly subjects like English, math, science, the lower grades you need 2 hours a day, the higher grades 3 or 4 hours a day. We actually don't need more than that. School wastes a lot of time. Really, in the school, they waste a lot of time. When you homeschool, you find you don't need that much time. So for the worldly subjects, you need like 2 to 4 hours, and then maybe another 2 hours for the Islamic subjects. So what we do in my home is that from 8 a.m. to midday, our kids study English, math, science, computers, business, all of that. And then from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., they study Quran, Hadith, memorization of surahs, Aqidah, Fiqh, etc. So we limit it to 5-6 hours a day if you include the Islamic subjects and the worldly subjects. Some people do it even less. Some people are able to do their worldly subjects in 2 hours and the Islamic studies in 1 hour, especially when they are younger. When they are like 6 or 7 years old, you really need just 3 or 4 hours altogether. But as they get a bit older, then you may need more time because some subjects will need more time. So even then, 3 or 4 hours for school and 1 or 2 hours for Islamiyat is enough, inshallah. It all really depends on your child's speed of learning.
There is a question, Sheikh Ismail. Mm-hmm. Are there any Islamic online schools currently available?
It depends on which country you are living in, right? So my kids are studying through an online school. It's an Islamic one based in South Africa. I don't know which countries it's available in, but these are popping up more and more, especially because of the pandemic. A lot of online Islamic schools did open up in many different countries. So the problem is most of them are localized. They are focused on the curriculum of the country that they are based in. So I don't know which country the question is coming from. You'll have to look locally and see did any of your schools, launch maybe an online version of their school during the pandemic. Because it's highly likely that's still running and that has become an online school of its own. So yeah, there are some, but it's a new thing. It's an emerging field. Like online schools are an emerging field, and perhaps in the next 5 years, there'll be more. Okay, do we have any other questions?
Yeah, there is one more question. I have children of different age groups, and it is difficult for us to teach them individually. Any advice?
Okay, so this is where time management comes in, right? Highly recommend, if you're going to homeschool, study time management, because that's going to help you develop the skill set that you need to juggle these various subjects at different grade levels. So what works for me is having set times for each child. So this is what I would do, right? The eldest, I would sit with them in the morning, give them the maths work, teach them the latest math concept, 5 or 10 minutes. until they understand it. Give them 30 minutes of busy work so they can practice and see if they understood the concept. While they are sitting and doing that work, teach the next child. Give them their work and do that. You know. So by the time you're done teaching each child, the first child comes to you to say their math is done. So now you teach that child language and you give them the English work for the day. So this way you divide it. And what you'll find is not every subject you have to divide. Because one of the problems with school is they assume that children learn based on age, but they don't. Like adults, they can learn in groups. So yeah, for English or math, you may have to work based on their grade. But for other subjects, you can still teach them collectively. You can still put your kids together and teach them stories of the prophets. You can put them together and teach them akhlaq and adab and purification of the soul and basic aqidah. Yeah, the older kids may have deeper questions. The younger kids may have more basic questions, but they can still learn this together. And it helps to build muhabba. It helps to build brotherly love between the siblings when they're actually studying something together. And it helps the younger ones to grow faster because they're listening to the questions of the older ones. And, you know, they want to be like the elder brother. So, you know, they mature faster and they develop their vocab faster. So again, it depends on the subject. Certain subjects you can teach them as a group. Other subjects, you just need a time management system that works for you, right? Where you teach each child for 10 minutes each and then give them some work to do on their own while you're teaching the next child. That's what worked for me. And inshallah, maybe it'll work for you too.
Oh, there's one more question, Sheikh. Kindly share an Islamic curriculum or Islamic academic program for children ages 4 and above.
So there is no set curriculum that I can think of. One of the problems we have right now is that this is all an emerging field. So there's no one curriculum that I would recommend. I myself have pulled from everywhere. Like, I don't have a set curriculum for my kids. I literally grab books that benefited me and teach those books to my kids. And that would be different books at different levels. Having said that, the age 4, I really don't see age 4 as an age for dedicated education like this, right? Homeschooling. My philosophy of education is that right until the age of 5, children learn through play. They learn from playing. So at that age, you don't sit with them and teach them reading, writing, math. I feel this is unnatural. You let them play. You know, you surround them with resources that are educational, games that they can learn to read and write from, Islamic videos that they can pick up the surahs and duas from. Things that are play focused, but through play, they are learning the surahs, the duas, reading, writing, numbers. They're learning it in a fun way. That's what's more natural at that age. So I only recommend doing formal education with your child when they are at the age where they feel ready, where they come to you and say, can you teach me? Which is either 5 or 6, later 7. Right? And you know, this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, teach your child to pray when they are 7, because that's when they're ready. Until then, they learn through playing. You know, they observe you, they mimic you, they copy you. But that's the age when they actually start to understand, okay, you know, this is the rakat, this is the sunnah, and this is the mustahab. That's the only age when they can finally start understanding that. So general advice, don't try to start education too early. That's one of the problems with the modern system. They push education too early, and they kill the childhood in the child. So the child who's at the age where they want to run and jump and play is forced to sit in a classroom and study, and they're not ready for that yet. Rather, let them run, let them jump, let them play, let them learn through exploring and having fun. And when they are 5 or 6 years old, start for 1 or 2 hours a day, sit with them and teach them the basics. There is no set curriculum. You know, this is something for now we have to wing it. If you want to teach them akhlaq, grab a book of Riyadus Salihin and just open to hadiths and narrate it to them and discuss it with them. You know, if you want to teach them aqidah, you know, take some of, there are actually books on aqidah for small children that have been written recently. But again, there's no set curriculum, but there are books that you can find. But really at this point in time, parents have to make their own curriculum because nothing that I have found, let's put it this way, I have tried over a dozen Islamic curriculums through homeschooling. I'm not happy with any of them. That's why I wouldn't recommend any of them, right? We're still trying to figure it out. We're still trying to work it out. Maybe within the next 5 years, something will come about that I can recommend. Okay. Are there any more questions?
The question is, where can I look for more resources on homeschooling?
So there are many resources online homeschooling. I personally have an online course and an ebook on this topic. I do have another online course starting next month with Al Balagh Academy, which will be a 6-month training program in how to homeschool, right? So we have this online course. Myself and Sister Bella Khan from IOU are teaching it, where we will be teaching parents on how to homeschool your child. This is going to be a 6-month program every Saturday starting in October. So that's probably going to be the best resource available on this topic. Allah knows best about other ones. There are some older ones, but I'm not too sure if they're still around. I remember Sister Zora Sarwari, who used to be involved with IU back in the day, she had produced some excellent books and videos on this topic. In fact, she was the one who convinced me to homeschool when I was younger. And there are websites and blogs, right? They go to the, if you head out to Muslim blogs, you will find many Muslim mothers who are homeschooling and have blogs where they document their homeschooling journey and what's working for them. And, you know, you can get ideas from them. I also have some blogs on IslamicSelfHelp.com. You go to my website, type in homeschooling in the search bar, you'll get my course, my ebook, and a variety of blog posts I've written on how to do this. And hopefully that will benefit you as well. But if you're looking for like a proper method of learning how to homeschool, the upcoming course, Al Balagh Academy, inshallah, that will be one of the best resources that you can get hold of on this topic.
Sheikh, there is one more question. Is there a forum or blog for Muslim homeschoolers to share their experiences and et cetera, questions and all?
I don't know. There might be, but I don't know. Most homeschoolers I know, you see, the problem is that every 5 years, it's a different generation of homeschoolers, right? So the folks who I learned to homeschool from, they've moved on to other things with their lives because their kids are all grown up now. And now I'm teaching this. In 6 or 7 years' time, I'm going to move on to other things and somebody else is going to be teaching this. Because you're only going to be homeschooling for like 12 years of your life. So I don't know if there's any community online for this. I have a feeling the younger generation probably have produced online forums. I'm just not aware of it, right? Because I started homeschooling 10 years ago. Maybe in the next five, in the past 5 years, somebody set one up. I'm just not aware of it. So I think you should look online, research, speak to younger homeschoolers, those who just started in the past 2 or 3 years. And maybe there is some resource like this. It's just that I personally am not aware of it.
There are two more questions, Sheikh. I hope they are relevant to your topic. One is, from what age we let our children do Hifz al-Quran?
When they're ready, right? When they are ready. It's different for every child. But on average, the average person I know who became Hafiz, I'm not one myself, but those who I know who became Hafiz, they studied Hifz between the ages of 6 and 12. That was considered like the time frame. If you don't complete your Hifz in that time, it gets very hard afterwards. So, that's just from my personal experience that a lot of my friends are Hafiz. And I know when we were studying, we had this idea that if you don't do it between the ages of 6 and 12, it's going to get very difficult. Fortunately, by the age of 12, I hadn't done it. So I started my Alimiyah program at the age of 13 instead, right? But really, that's like the time where kids' minds are like sponges and they're just absorbing things. So use that time for them to absorb the Quran. They could start as young as 4 or 5, depending on how good their memories are. At a younger age, maybe just by having Quran playing in the background so they memorize it. But between the ages of 6 and 12 is the time where most people who you know today as Hafiz, that's the time when they did the Hifz, right? Between the ages of 6 and 12.
And another question, Sheikh. My son, age 3.5, he is not clear speaker. I want him to memorize Quran. How do I start with him? Advice I need.
Okay, so I don't know if I'm the right person to advise on this because you may want to see a speech therapist or maybe just leave it for another year. Leave it for another year because some children, I personally know people who only started speaking clearly when they were 4 or 5 years old. And now as adults, they are Alhamdulillah, amazing people. Some people, it just develops later. That's why I say leave it until your child is ready. Right? So a 3.5-year-old doesn't need to be memorizing Quran. They're too young. They're way too young. Don't feel this pressure. I know a lot of people have this pressure that, you know, I've got to start everything. So they have their 2-year-old who's like learning to read and write, and the 3-year-old who's memorizing Quran. No, relax. Like I said earlier, let them play until they are 4 or 5 years old. They're never going to get that part of their life back again. Just relax and let them enjoy that part of their life. When they are 4 or 5 years old, or even 6 years old, then you start formal education. But the 3.5-year-old should not be pressurized into memorizing Quran. They are way too young. At that age, they should be playing and enjoying life and learning naturally. Right? And if that means they learn some Quran from hearing it, alhamdulillah. But don't pressurize them to do hifz at that age. It's not natural to be studying formally at that age.
And one question I have, Sheikh. Mm-hmm. We generally, parents, nowadays people have a mind set up. If a child or a student goes to outside schooling, he'll become more tough and he'll be used to things, because he's exposed to many friend circle, teachers, and all those things. If it is homeschooling, he may not be. So this is my personal mindset up or whatever it is. What do you say about that?
So I say that's a misconception. That's not related to homeschooling. That's related to parenting, right? So if parents are afraid of the world and they're keeping their child in the house all the time, cut off from the world, then yes, the child might grow up to be like that. But most homeschoolers are not like that. My kids go for teen halakas. They go out to fairs. They go for soccer training. They go for martial arts training. They're hanging out with their neighbors' children. They have social lives, right? Most homeschool kids do. Homeschool doesn't mean your child is locked up in your home 24/7, like going through a pandemic or lockdown. No. Homeschool simply means the primary education is done by the parents. But your child is still going to head out. They're still going to go for Islamic programs in the community. They're still going to attend halakat. They're still going to go for martial arts. They're still going to go for soccer, for football. They're still going to, you know, spend time with their neighbors, with their cousins, with other children in the community. They're still going to be involved with other people socially. They're still going to have their online friends as well. You're not cutting them off from the world. You're just training them better on how to handle it. Look at it this way. Putting a 6-year-old in a public school is sending somebody out into a monsoon without an umbrella. Really, they're not ready for all that bombardment of homosexuality and all that other filth at that age. But when you're homeschooling your child, you are building within them the character and the manners and the aqidah that they need to be a filter for the rest of the world. And then you relax a bit about the rest of the world. So your kids are at the neighbor's house, you know, you relax. You know, I taught my kids well. You know, they're going to do what's right. Your kids are going for the teen halakat. You relax, you leave them, you pick them up when they're done. You know, you taught them what's right. So really, that's not a homeschooling issue. That's a parenting issue. I did meet kids like that. They were also homeschooled, but they were raised by parents who were afraid of the world. Most homeschooling families allow their children to have very active social lives, and they help them to have very active social lives. It's just that the primary education is done by the parents, right? I hope that answers your question. Okay, and unfortunately,
hello,
I need to
leave Aaron. Now the question and answer session is over. Brothers and sisters, we now move on to the presentation of IOU and the various courses it offers by our brother. Now, brothers and sisters, we would like to move on further for the presentation of IOU and various courses it offers. And the presentation will be done by our brother Syed Ahmad. I invite Syed Ahmad to start his presentation, inshallah.
Jazakallah khair, Brother Sikandar. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May peace and blessings of Allah be on all of you. I am Sayyid Ahmed Ali. I'm a student of IAU and a chairperson of IAU Grad Brother Student Committee. On behalf of IAU, I would like to give an introduction of our International Open University, previously called Islamic Online University. Before I begin, I would like to recite an ayah from the glorious Quran, which emphasizes the important point, which will draw a picture where there is a need of education, a right education. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغير ما بأنفسهم meaning indeed Allah will not change the condition of people until they change within themselves if you see today throughout the world we are facing endless problems challenges where we see no solution to them I'll mention few of them only corruption, hunger, poverty, wealth inequality, debt, health in developing countries, materialism, war, pandemic, severe moral evils such as human trafficking and torture. The main reason for all the problems we are facing today is due to our worldly attachment, losing the sense of accountability and the connection with the creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Though marvelous developments are made in technology, human being is still suffering with these problems. The solution to these problems can never be achieved unless his connection with the creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is realized and strengthened. Unless we have the knowledge and the understanding of the creator of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our relationship with him and implement the understanding, we can never be successful, neither in this worldly life nor in the hereafter. This is the reason I mentioned in the beginning, the ayah from the glorious Quran. I would like to repeat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغَيْرَ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يَغَيْرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ Which means again, Indeed, Allah will not change the condition of people until they change what is in themselves. Therefore, Dr. Bilal Phillips embarked on the mission to get the change in ourselves by imparting the knowledge, authentic Islamic knowledge, through the medium of internet solely to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. He founded this university with the vision to change the nation through education. At this point, I would like to say a few words about Dr. Bilal Phillips before I move on to the presentation of Islamic Online University. Dr. Bilal Phillips, he's a Jamaican Islamic scholar, reverted to Islam in early 70s. He did his bachelor from the Medina, Saudi Arab, and master from Riyadh, Saudi Arab, and PhD from United Kingdom. He taught Arabic and Islamic studies in the high schools and university for 20 years. He set up Islamic studies department in various universities. He has authored and published over 50 books. MashaAllah, he is one of the 500 most influential Muslims in the world today. Dr. Bilal Phillips founded this university which keep us connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the study. All of its programs are being thought in an Islamic perspective, regardless of whether it's a contemporary program such as information technology, business administration, or an Islamic program. Dr. Bilal Phillips started this university with a mission, making authentic Islamic knowledge readily available to the world through the medium of internet solely for God's pleasure is a noble and dignified mission worthy of sacrifice one's energy or means for. let's look into the principle of IO on which it operates. Authenticity. IO curriculum is based on correct and authentic knowledge. It's based on the principle of Quran and Sunnah only. Accessibility. You can study online from any part of the world, wherever you may be and whenever you wish. It's for anyone, at any place, at any time. Affordability. Fees for higher degree program are comparatively low and affordable to benefit individuals, communities, and humanity in general. Community. IU has a high level of diversity. You could be part of a global community of over 600,000 students from over 229 countries. No student is prevented from study at IU regardless of his religion and race. Islamic ethics. IU strive its staff members, teachers, students, volunteers at the highest standard of personal integrity, honesty, and responsibility as a Muslim first. Quality and application. IU provide a top quality online academic experience to provide Islamic authentic knowledge and to face contemporary challenges of the 21st century. IU also offer other contemporary programs such as business administration, information technology, psychology. IU assesses and reevaluate every aspect of its academic models on an ongoing basis. Let's look into the history of International Open University. In 2017, IU launched an Islamic online university with 23 free diploma courses and had over 1,500 students registered. In 2010, IU offered Bachelor of Arts in Islamic Studies degree program. Over 30,000 students from 177 countries were registered. In 2014, four new departments were opened: Department of Education, Department of Islamic Economics, Banking and Finance, Department of Psychology, and the Department of Arabic Language and Linguistics. IU received a university license from Ministry of Higher Education, Research and Science Technology in The Gambia. IU began offering a BIS, BA, Bachelor in Islamic Studies program in Russian language. In 2015, IU opened two additional departments to offer a bachelor degree program in business administration and information technology. The Islamic Studies department began to offer a master's in Islamic Studies. In 2017, IU began offering the Bachelor in Islamic Studies program in Bahasa and Urdu languages. The 1 million African scholarship initiative was launched in 2017 to provide free bachelor's degree scholarship to underprivileged African youth, subhanAllah. In 2021, IU launched PhD in Islamic Sciences. And alhamdulillah, today, IU has 600,000 students from 229 countries registered. Let's look into the program of which IU offer. IU offers Islamic Studies program up to the PhD level and higher diploma as well. IU offer Islamic Economics program up to the bachelor level plus a certification program in the agricultural economics. IU offer B8 program education in program up to the bachelor level. IU offer business administration program up to the bachelor level. IU also offer psychology program up to the bachelor level, and very soon they will introduce a higher program, doctorate program, into the psychology department. IU offer information technology program up to the bachelor level. And IU also offer Arabic program up to the bachelor level, and up to the master level, And also they offer an intensive Arabic program for those who want to study, understand the Quran, understanding language, to understand the Quran in a very shorter period of time. I offer memorization program, Ijaza program. They have a separate website for it. It's called Global Quran Memorization Center. I offer diplomas, general diplomas in Islamic studies. 24 plus courses are there to for us to complete, and single fee courses and workshop as well. I have a different study plans. They are part-time, full-time, accelerated study plans. In part-time, the courses, we have 1, 2, 3 courses per semester. In full-time, we have 4, 5, or 6 courses per semester. In accelerated, we have 7 to 9 courses per semester. This is the flexibility I will provide us. Let's look into the semester fee. For the certification, association, or bachelor programs, the fees are as follows. I mentioned $75 to $220 for a part-time and $115 to $215 for full-time in the bachelor programs, $155 to $416 accelerated plan. And similarly, in the master of Islamic sciences, $200 to $470 and $305 to $725 and $420 to $918 accelerated study plan. In higher diploma, $135 to $340, $210 to $530 and $285 to $715. In a PhD, $630 for the part-time and $900 for the full-time. IAP is intensive Arabic program, $95 to $320 is fee I give to these programs. The fees are based on the student country of resident, it's based on the standard of living. The fees are tuition free, that's why it's affordable. If we look at the fee structure in the 1 year period, there will be 2 semester per year, and 2 semester fee on average is $465, which if we convert into to Saudi Riyal is 1,745 Riyal. If we divide it to per month, is $39 only. And if you divide Saudi Riyal into per month is 144 Riyal only. And similarly, if you divide it into per day, it's just $1.3, and in Riyal is 4.8 Saudi Riyal. Just to give an idea how affordable it is. Accreditation, IU have been granted accreditation for Ministry of Higher Education of Gambia, and also got accreditation from National Accreditation and Quality Assurance Authority, NAQAA, NAQA, they call from the Gambia. If you want to contact us, you can contact us to the IU official address as mentioned in the screen. And also you can send us an email for the admission and general inquiry into the following email addresses. I would like to end my talk by saying Prophet Muhammad saying, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man sa'ala tariqan yaltamas fiha 'ilman, sahala Allahu bihi tariqan ila jannah." Whoever take a path upon which to obtain knowledge, Allah makes the path to paradise easy for him. Barakallahu feek. Jazakallah.
Inshallah, we'll now start the question and answers on this Islamic International Online University, whose presentation is just completed by our brother Syed Ahmad. Brothers and sisters are requested to send their questions related to the topic of the this topic of IOU, and it will be answered by our brother Syed Ali and myself, inshallah. Anybody's losing? I'll be muted. There seem to be no questions, it looks. If there are any questions, brothers or sisters, you can email us to our email address given in the invitation. Do not hesitate to ask any type of questions regarding this acquiring the knowledge in the path of Allah, authentic knowledge from IOU. From the comfort of your homes, at your own pace and affordable fees. Kindly do, if you have any questions, clarifications, kindly post them in the email so that we can answer, inshallah. With this, we come to the end of this event. Jazakallahu khairan once to all brothers and sisters who have joined us today to listen to Sheikh Ismail Kamdar and the presentation on International Online University amidst your busy schedule. We hope we all will be benefited in both the worlds from the session today. We look forward to seeing you again and again to listen to some more topics we are going to arrange very shortly, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So there seems to be a question from the attendees. Can we get diploma? We do have diplomas in various fields like Islamic studies, psychology, and other studies also. So if you can go through the website, you can easily come to know what sort of diplomas and the duration and the fees. You will have all the clarification in it, please. Diploma or certificate, anything. Yes, IOU is only online. It can be done online, of course. And examinations and all those will be conducted in examination centers in your places, respective places. Anything? Huh? That's all it looks pertaining to question and answers, brothers and sisters. We'd like to wind up the event. Jazakallahu khairan once again to all brothers and sisters who have joined us today. We look forward to seeing you once again to listen to another interesting topics, inshallah, which we are going to arrange, inshallah, very soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.